The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up a little later on in the show, I'll be looking ahead to the start of the Premier League that kicks off next weekend, would you believe? We welcome, though, to the show, Danny Higginbottom, Stevie Nicol and Shaka Hislop. We'll start, boys, in the Nations League. We saw today Germany could just manage a 1-1 draw against Switzerland. Meanwhile, Spain beating Ukraine 4-0. We saw Ansu Fati become the youngest goal scorer ever for Spain. Ferran Torres getting his first goal as well in the international colours. And Sergio Ramos getting a brace. And whenever Sergio Ramos does anything, our mentions on the show blow up because of Steve Nicol's, obviously, take on Ramos and the fact that he's not a world-class defender.
Hold on a second.
Have I said anything there that's fake, Stevie?
Well, I want to ask Danny, because Danny, I don't know whether Danny knows any of this, so...
That's why it's
pretty... Let me ask Danny.
Okay.
Danny, if if a defender has a world record red and a world record yellow cards, how good a defender would you think he would be?
Yeah, I understand your point, Steve, 100%, because you know you want as many players as you can on the pitch. But the one thing I would say is that
that's
with
fine.
Ramos...
That's fine,
no,
Your Honour.
No,
Dan, what do you want? No.
Can I not finish, though?
It's my witness. It's my witness. Danny, is Sergio Ramos world-class despite his disciplinary record?
Yes.
World-class what?
Defender.
Yeah.
Defender.
I'd have him in
Let's just make it clear.
Right. OK. We will now ask the question. Is he a world-class defender, Danny?
Yeah. I think he is a world-class defender, yeah, 100%. You don't play for as long as he has at Real Madrid and do what he's done for Spain if you're not.
How do you get world record red and yellow cards if you're a world-class defender? Please explain that to me.
Unfortunate.
Come on. I mean, it's unfortunate. Listen, defending is about decision-making and starting position, right? And if you've got world record red and yellow cards, then your decision-making's rotten and your starting position's rotten.
Stevie, let me ask you this then, OK? Name me five better centre-backs than him in world football now.
Shut up, that's not a question. The question is he world-class? Every single defender in the world could be absolutely rotten, but that doesn't make him world-class.
No, what I'm saying if you're world class, you're considered world class
in
your position.
It's not who's the best now. Is he world class? And as I explained to you, and I'll tell you one more time, just in case you never heard me. If you've got world record red cards, world record yellow cards, defending is about decision making and starting position. And if you've got that record, then you're making a mess of it. So don't give me this world class patter. Yes, he's good. But he ain't world class.
When you're looking at world class centre backs at the moment, you don't compare to previous eras. You look at the here and now. And if you're talking about world class centre backs, which are the best centre backs in world football, he's probably in the top four.
So we're not comparing to the past. We're comparing them to now.
Of course you are, because this is when he's playing.
Listen. If there was 100 centre-backs playing in the Premier League and they were all rotten, would you say the best one's world-class?
No, but we're not talking about the Premier League. We're talking about world. That's why we're saying world-class. I think, you know, you've got Van Dijk.
What's a lot of nonsense?
You've got Van Dijk, without question, arguably the best centre-back in the world. But then after that, who's behind Van Dijk? You know,
that's
Ramos,
not the question.
Ramos is right up
the question
there.
Is... A world-class defender.
And yes, it does include
players from the past. The reason we call people world-class is because we actually compare them to previous players and players up and coming. That's how we get. That's how we determine how good somebody is. So when you've got Cannavaro, right, and somebody performs, you go, well, okay, is he better than Cannavaro, or is he close to Cannavaro, or is he worse than Cannavaro? That's how we figure world class. And people at Cannavaro and Maldini and a whole host of others don't have a world record red and yellow cards. Because if you have those, you're making mistakes. But so he's made more mistakes than any other top class centre back, because he's got the record for red and yellow cards.
But what's he done in recent seasons? He won 3 Champions League in a row. He's still playing for Spain. He's different class.
He's not listening.
OK, right. Let's move it on to the actual game, Stevie. Sergio Ramos getting a couple of goals. I think everyone agrees he is world class. Meanwhile, for Ansu Fati, a very...
Hold on. Now, if we're talking about... Here's one for you. All these people who say I hate Ramos. Let me tell you. He's probably, well, he's certainly right now, the most dangerous centre-back in the opposition penalty box. And he may be the most dangerous centre-back in the opposition penalty box of all time. He could possibly be. So, don't say I just don't like Sergio Ramos. That's not true. OK, you can ask the next one.
Sergio Ramos then with 2 goals. But what a moment this is for Ansu Fati, breaking that record, becoming the youngest ever goal scorer for Spain.
Yeah, and you know, not to bring up Sergio Ramos's name here again, and as much as he grabbed 2, I think this story was, or this game in particular, the first half, it was all about Ansu Fati. It was he who drew the penalty in the first 90 seconds. He did grab his goal. His partnership with Reguilón on the left hand side was simply fantastic, and Ukraine could not cope. The game was over at halftime, so as much as the criticism may be, well, he only did it for 45 and he wasn't as good in the second half, I think that's irrelevant here. It was simply breathtaking from him, from the youngster down that left-hand side, giving Luis Garcia a real options down that flank. He was fantastic. He was unplayable to Ukraine, who barely got over their own half during the course of this game.
Meanwhile, Stevie, your focus was on the German game. They went 1-0 up. You thought from then they were going to kick on, but in the end, it finished 1-1.
I think they were lucky to get a point. Listen, if Switzerland had a goal scorer or anybody in the front line that knew how to put the ball in the back of the net, then Switzerland would have won this game. I mean, they started well enough, Germany, but the truth is, the majority of the game, they were pretty average, and I thought Switzerland were way better. I don't really like the combination of Werner and Sané up front. It didn't really work for me. And there actually wasn't that many good things about this German performance. I think they were lucky to get a point, quite honestly, and they still haven't won a game in this Nations League tournament since it started.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Well, the Nations League continues tomorrow, and once again, we'll have you covered on ESPN. The big game, without a doubt, it's the Dutch against Italy. That one live on Plus at 2:45.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So the new Premier League season kicks off next weekend. The defending champions Liverpool in action against newly promoted Leeds United. Certainly one of the fixtures that jumps out at you. However, it's a team that isn't in action. Manchester City on a break, as is in Manchester United because of their European exploits. But it's City who are favourites to win the league. Danny, do you agree with the bookies?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously Liverpool last season, they were sensational and, you know, they ended up walking the league. They were that good. But I just think when you look at the squad depth that they've got, I think they were fortunate last season. Yes, the goalkeeper got injured, but they had a number of players. I think there was seven or eight players that actually played 30 games plus started 30 plus games. And for them to find themselves in that position next season where they're able to do that and able to rely on the key players, I think it's going to be very difficult. So I can see why they've looked at Manchester City and put them probably as favourites because of the strength and depth that they've got. And I think something that's probably what Liverpool are looking at, they need to do, because they are so reliant on, you know, just a few players to get the goals in particular.
18 points though, Danny, it's a big deficit. City haven't gone out and brought in that many players. It's pretty much the same squad, isn't it, than last year?
Yeah, it is. But the one thing I would say, like I say, with Liverpool last season, there's no doubt in the quality that they had. They were absolutely unbelievable. But I think if you look at the front three of Liverpool, if anything was to happen to them is in terms of long-term injury, then there would be big problems. We saw it with De Bruyne at Manchester City when he had a long-term injury. He was out for a while. But if Liverpool have that, you know, you've got your top three scorers, obviously your front three, but then after that is Virgil van Dijk as a centre-half. He's your next top goal scorer. So they need to get more goals from midfield because there is a huge reliance on the front three, and I'm sure that's something that Klopp's probably looking at.
Stevie Danny saying Liverpool lucky last year.
I did not say that.
Actually, I think you're right, Dan. I mean, they haven't really done anything so far. I mean, there's talk of Koulibaly. If he does sign, then that will make a huge difference. But I think also for City, you know, Danny's talking about injuries to Liverpool, but if Aguero doesn't play a major part in the season, that's going to hurt them because we've seen so far that Jesus is no Aguero. Yes, he scored some goals, but I think part of the reason they lost so many games was, yes, they were bad at the back, but they were struggling to take advantage of a lot of situations going forward. So I'm not quite sure that City should be favourites. I still think Liverpool are ahead of them because of the 18 points, and they haven't signed anybody.
Danny, we talk about the strength and depth of City, but we've seen at the back, vulnerable. They brought in Nathan Ake, obviously, but we saw the importance of Laporte, who they missed out on a lot on last season. Despite the fact you look at their bench often and think, wow, you know, this team is sensational, there are kind of similar players, aren't they? This is the issue. There's no strength and depth when it comes to the defence. And as Stevie mentioned, if Kun Aguero gets injured, Jesus isn't the like-for-like replacement that you want.
He isn't. No, he's not a like-for-like replacement. But the one thing that we've seen with Jesus, with Sterling, even with Foden against Real Madrid in the Champions League, that they can play a number of different players in that centre-forward position. And I think what they have within their team is the flexibility. We've seen De Bruyne, who in my opinion was absolutely magnificent last season. He can play in a front three, can play in a midfield three. So they've got plenty of variety there. But yeah, without doubt, the question marks will be talked about as in terms of defensively. You know, Liverpool were the only team to concede less than them in the Premier League last season. But the knock-on effect that they had was that, you know, by the end, Guardiola was only really trusting Fernandinho alongside Laporte, and he's probably the best defensive midfielder that they've got. They've brought in Aki as well, and I think that if they do get Koulibaly, because there's a lot of talk of him coming from Napoli, and my own honest opinion, you give Manchester City the Premier League trophy now, because I think that is just the missing piece of the jigsaw for them, because everything else is in place, but they've just got to probably shape themselves up a little bit defensively and get a good partnership like Liverpool have with Van Dijk and with Gomez.
Wow.
Stevie, what was the wow about?
Well, listen, I understand if Danny or anybody else thinks that City can top Liverpool in the Premier League this year, but I can't understand that you just sign one player. OK, they do need a centre-back, but you sign Koulibaly and then it's, well, just give them a title. Are you having a laugh? Come on.
Where do you stand on this, Shaka? Give City the title?
No, absolutely not. Listen, I understand that City have addressed an issue that they've needed to for the last couple of seasons. And at the same time, Liverpool have been very reliant on their front three, have had no issues with them for the last two seasons. Law of averages maybe suggests that comes to a screeching halt this time around. But pound for pound, I think Liverpool's starting 11 is better than City's, evidenced by what we saw during the course of last season, and that's where I'm still leaning.
And Koulibaly coming in, as good as it and could be, Danny. Like, Pep hasn't got a great history of centre-backs.
No, I get that. But the thing is, like, and listening to what Stevie said, you know, you look at one player making a difference. Van Dijk. Liverpool don't win the league without Van Dijk in that team. They're an unbelievable team, but he's been the difference maker. It's been his signing that has elevated them from also-rans to champions. So one player can make that big a difference, as Van Dijk's shown for Liverpool.
I don't think we should forget, by the way. You know, we all sort of say, oh, Emerick Laporte. The truth is, he hasn't got back to his 100% since his injury. And actually, he's pretty good, but he's not great. You know, everybody that's been around him has been so bad that he's actually looked like the supposed rock. I mean, let's be honest here. Laporte is good, but he ain't no Van Dijk. And Koulibaly ain't no Van Dijk either.
Away from the top two, Danny, who's finishing higher, Chelsea or United?
If I look at the squad, if I look at the signings that Chelsea have made, I would say them at the moment. I think they've made some unbelievable signings. I think the transfer ban that they had actually ended up working in their favour because they had finances now that other clubs don't have. But it's all about how the players settle. I think Manchester United need to sign some players. But at the moment, with the business that's been done, I would say Chelsea.
How would you have them set up, Danny? Because they've got a lot of players that they've brought in, but obviously they can't all start.
No, it's a difficult one for Frank Lampard, but I think what we're seeing now is them looking to get strength in depth. I think it's an important thing. And I think when you look at Chelsea, I go back to Frank Lampard when he first started his management job at Derby, he would play a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. And I think likewise at Chelsea, he has experimented with a back three, but I think if he wants to get the players in that he's signed, then I think he has to go with a 4-3-3. I think that's really important for him to have the varieties in terms of the attacking options.
Do you agree, Stevie?
Yeah, I would. I agree. I think they'll start off with 4-3-3, but I think with what they have, they'd be better suited with a 4-2-3-1, to be honest. You know, basically, you can say, right, we're going to have six defending and we'll have four attacking. Considering how vulnerable Chelsea were defensively last season, I would suggest that's a better idea, having Kovacic and Kante in front of the back four, and then you've got your other four going at the opposition. I don't think he'll start the season that way, but if things don't go well to begin with, I think that's a good option for Chelsea and Frank.
And Xhaka, of course, we've still got that big elephant in the room, is that he doesn't really have a proper goalkeeper.
Yeah, and that's a concern, which is why I think Stevie's leaning to a 4-2-3-1, just to provide that added protection. Listen, I understand the criticism around Kepa, often as a goalkeeper, when you've lost the faith of your manager, when you've lost the faith of your back four, and in particular your two centre-halves in front of you, it's hard to regain. And I think that's telling, because it affects not just how Frank Lampard is forced to set up, but how, as a team, you naturally sit a little bit deeper and you don't have that freedom. I think the good thing with Chelsea, given how talented this squad is and potentially can be, is that more times than not, you play on the front foot, and that isn't that much of a concern. But as we've often seen, oftentimes this title is decided on how well you do against the top six. That becomes a genuine concern. How vulnerable you are, or how much you play within yourself against the Liverpools and the Man Cities of this league.
Meanwhile, for United, Danny, we talked about it a lot when Van der Beek was made official. Can he play with Bruno and Pogba?
I think that he can. I think one of the first things that everybody said when Manchester United signed him was, OK, well, where's he going to fit in? Well, things like that don't happen when Manchester City sign a player. I think when you look at Solskjaer, in particular, towards the end of the season, you know, his front four, he was so reluctant to change anything, even until late in the games. You know, some games they were seeing which were very close, and he won't make substitutions until after the 80th minute because he didn't trust the players that he had on the bench. And I think with Van der Beek, a player coming in now, he has the versatility. Yes, he's played as a number 10, but when De Jong left and went to Barcelona, he was playing more of that defensive role. So when I look at it, I think to myself that he could play alongside Pogba. Obviously, Fernandes is the 10, and then you have Rashford and Greenwood either side, and then Martial up top. Now, a lot of people would say that there's no defensive stability there within the midfield area. But what you can do with having the strength in depth in the midfield area, it gives you the opportunity to make changes when it's called for in specific games. Matic, who recently signed a new contract, was outstanding, I thought, last season towards the back end. So he has the variety and he has the options to do that. And I think that's what Solskjaer will be looking at more than anything, is in terms of saying, is Van der Beek going to start the season? Where is he going to start? It's another player that can be a game changer, that if he's starting the game or even if he's coming off the bench, enabling other players to have a rest, which I think is really important.
Is it another season for United, though, where they kind of have to make do with top four?
I think so. I think from Manchester United's perspective, I think they've got to look at it and say, right, we need to close the gap to Manchester City. We need to close the gap to Liverpool. And, you know, I think they need a couple more signings. In an ideal world, I think they need another centre-back. I think if they could get Sancho in, that would be absolutely brilliant. And then they can start to possibly ask questions about the top two in particular, because at the moment, I think Liverpool and Manchester City are light years away from everybody else in the league.
Where's the big weakness for you, Stevie, with United?
Oh, the question for me is, can they defend in the middle of the park? That really is it. The back four are pretty good. They're not the best around, but they're pretty good and pretty solid. But I'm not so sure whether Man United can stop the better sides getting at them. So that for me is the question mark. Going forward, they've got talent, they've got ability, absolutely. No doubt about that one. But can they defend in the middle of the park? Fernandes wants to go forward. He's not that great at defending. De Beek, I agree. I think he can play in there. But, you know, defending in the Premier League is a little bit different than defending in the Dutch league. And, of course, Pogba, there's question marks about his defensive ability as well. So I think that's the question for Man United. Yes, they can go forward from the middle, but can they defend against proper teams?
Meanwhile, of the others that are chasing, who are going to get closest to getting in the top four, Danny?
I think when you look at Wolves, I think they're on, you know, I think the way that they play, it's very difficult to play against them. I think Tottenham, you know, Mourinho, they had a fantastic end to the season, ended up finishing sixth. Arsenal, they seem to get a little bit of life towards the end of the season, won the FA Cup. And, you know, what Arteta's done, he seems to have changed the mentality a little bit, you know, being able to be tougher within the game. Because a lot of things that have been said over recent seasons is that you could bully Arsenal. So I don't think there'll be any team, you know, that we don't really speak about that could make the top four. I think Leicester, obviously, they fell short last season, but they had an outstanding season, but it's just the fact that they fell out of it. So I would say your usual suspects, really. And I think the signings that have been made so far by certain teams have shown that.
We'll find out about Danny Higginbotham's guitar playing ability on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel. Stevie and Shaq are with us as well to answer your tweets. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Tuesday we'll see the announcement then of the PFA Player of the Year. The shortlist sees four Liverpool players, Alexander-Arnold, Henderson, Mane and Van Dijk, joined by two City representatives, Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling. We discussed this yesterday with Shaq and Stevie. Let's get your thoughts on it, Danny. Who would you give it to?
De Bruyne. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. I think in a team that does often get changed, the different positions that he's played in. He's just gone up another level. I think something like, I think it's 20 assists and 13 goals, and he's only been involved in, I think, maybe 32, 33 games. So he's been absolutely incredible, and in my opinion, the best attacking midfielder in world football at the moment.
Stevie, you said yesterday Mane.
Well, I think you need to clean your ears, Dan, because I didn't say that. I said that Mane and De Bruyne, it should be between them, and regardless of which one wins it, I wouldn't have a problem with it. So, clean your ears, son.
Why is it so even for you?
Well, because Liverpool won the Premier League in a canter, and arguably one of the biggest reasons was. Because of Mane. So you're talking about winning the Premier League for the first time in 30, or winning a title for the first time in 30 years. Don't you think that matters as well? The fact that he's taken Liverpool with the pressure, so-called, that we're under as well. So, as I said, I have no problem if De Bruyne wins it, but hey, Mane wins it, he deserves it as well.
Danny, it's a fair point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mane won the league.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It is a fair point. And, you know, Liverpool last season, they're a well-oiled machine. You look at Mane, everybody knows where he was going to be playing before the game begun. And, you know, we know what his strengths is. But what I like about De Bruyne, when you see him on the team sheet, he could be playing as a holding midfielder. He could be playing as a number 10. He could be playing out wide. You know, he could even play as a false number 9. You don't know where he's going to play. And that's why I set them apart. Because De Bruyne is asked to do so many different things on the field in different positions, and he comes up with the answers every single time, and the ability that he's got, and the awareness and the intelligence that he has.
Is that your dog, Danny?
I don't think so. No, I've
Whose
got two
dog is
dogs.
That? But I can't Shaka.
Hear
Shaka, is that your
dog? Dog Shaka.
Get the dog. We want to see it.
Bella.
Come on, Bella.
Come here.
Come and say hello.
Bella.
Oh.
Bella, come.
While he gets Bella, what did you make of David Ginola being named the Player of the Year in 1999, Danny?
Well, I did listen to the show, and, you know, Shaq had a great point. You know, and this is the problem you're voting for.
Oh, Danny, no one's listening to a word you're saying.
Lovely.
Now, look at Bella. Oh, beautiful. Who does Bella think should win it, Shaq?
That's got nothing to do with Bella.
She thinks Manny should win it, she said.
She said who?
Manny.
Manny?
Manny? Yeah.
Perfect. All right, then. That's it. That's enough of this. just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops tomorrow. Jules still on holiday, so Stuart Robson sitting in. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure, though, to stay tuned for Extra Time, where we discover which of our panel used to play the violin. Yeah, you're right, it's not Stevie. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Shaka and Stevie with us, as is Danny Higginbotham. Danny, you've got to take us through some of... The things that are behind you in your office, starting off with a guitar, which you told us before you don't play.
I don't play, but you thought I did play it. So that's the point of it, you see. So it makes me look good. Obviously, I've got the Lego as well. So, you know, just trying to mix right. a little bit of everything. Hey, I'll get to play
I'm
the guitar.
I'm going to buy a piano so I can't even play it.
But it makes you look good.
What's that?
Why would you have a guitar if you can't
I'm going to get
it?
A cellar.
Well, the problem is, it's
I'm
not actually
buy,
supposed
Dan,
to be in the picture.
I'm going to buy one of those ones. You know the ones that play themselves?
Yes.
I'm going to buy one of them and just set like that.
Yeah, but when you've had a when you've had a drink, it's nice to just sit there and pretend you're playing the guitar while you're listening to music. So, you know.
Danny, that's a bit weird.
Hold on a minute. So, come on, run my house, and I'm going to sit and have a chat and have a beer. And then, in the meantime, I'll set this guitar on my knee and not play it.
We'll I opened myself up for that one, didn't I?
hey.
Goodness me.
Yeah, I very good, aye.
Is that... What are you doing, Stevie?
Hey, Danny, have you got to put it down to get a drink?
What are you doing? What is that? Is that how you hold a guitar?
See, that's what we do.
Of course it is.
So many people... Yeah, but so many people pretend to play the air guitar. I don't need to pretend to play the air guitar because I've got a guitar that I can pretend to play.
That's money to burn, Higginbottom. Right.
No, it's method behind the madness.
Stevie and Shaka, you both said last season...
Hey, I made a guitar once. Hey, I made a guitar at school in woodwork.
Did you?
So there. I did die. It worked as well.
I learned to
play. Is that it that Danny has behind him?
Yep. Right, Stevie and Shaka, you both said last season that Liverpool would win the Premier League title in part because it was simply too difficult for City to keep up that level for three seasons in a row. And you were right. Why won't the same happen to Liverpool this year, Stevie?
Because it's only two seasons in a row.
Well, this will be the third, Stevie. Bella, shush!
No, they never won it.
Sorry, Bella's back.
No. City won it twice, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Liverpool's won it once, and they'll win it this year. That'll be twice. So next, the following year is going to be the top one.
What about the Champions League?
Well, you're talking about the Premier
League.
Does that not count as well? No? Shaka,
it's,
we saw
it's
you
a different ball game.
By the way, Shaka's...
The league and the... Every league and every cup competition are completely different, Dan.
OK, well, thank you very much for breaking that down. Shaka, we saw drinking water there. I can tell you that, we discussed before, is a normal-sized bottle, but Shaka's big goalkeeping hands makes it look very small, Shaq. That's the way you roll.
Well, I don't know. It's a small bottle, Dan.
No, I just...
We've had this discussion.
Stevie, are you afraid of Chelsea being a contender against Liverpool this year? How would you envisage the two sides matching up against each other?
No, I'm not. I don't think Chelsea are going to eclipse Liverpool this year. I think they're going to be closer to them. The signings they've made have been good. I think definitely going forward they'll be even better than they were. It's tough to turn around and say that Thiago Silva is going to make an absolutely incredible difference to that back line. I'm assuming he's going to make it better, so that's why they'll get closer to Liverpool. But I don't see Chelsea, challenging for the Premier League title against City and Liverpool. I still think Liverpool and City are too strong for the other teams that could be in the top four.
For Danny and Shaka, do you think Henderson has done enough in the last season, coupled with the lack of confidence that De Gea has, that he should start in the Premier League? Stevie, how was the ground beef last night? Well, let's deal with De Gea and Henderson first. Danny, who would you have as your number one?
I would have De Gea, I think, at the moment, but knowing full well that Henderson has the ability, you know, to put major pressure on him. And I think personally that's what Solskjaer will do. I think the difference is playing in goal for Sheffield United then coming and playing for Manchester United in goal, there's a huge difference in pressure. So I think De Gea will probably start the season, see how it goes, but I don't think Solskjaer would have any qualms or any problems with putting Henderson in if things didn't go according to plan for De Gea.
What do you think, Shaq?
I would have Henderson right now. I said a few weeks ago, I think Right now, De Gea is actually the better goalkeeper still, but he's trending downwards. Henderson is trending upwards. I don't think Manchester United are going to be in the title race. Their best hope is a top four finish this season. And as a result, I would give Henderson the nod. Let him get that experience. Let him fit into to that United team with the expectation that United will be a title contender in a season or two. I just don't see De Gea being the goalkeeper in a season or two if that is the case.
And then, Stevie, to your dinner last night, how was the ground beef?
Absolutely fantastic. A mince with some onion and carrot through it. Had a touch of turnip.
Oh.
Some peas and I topped it off with some homemade beetroot. It's fantastic.
And then what's on
very
the menu?
Tasty.
What's on the menu tonight?
Mince with some carrots and onions through it. And and probably turnip again with some beetroot at the end. Yeah, and I might have some peas as well, just for a change.
Thank God.
Danny, will Trent Alexander-Arnold eventually move towards a more attacking role, similar to how Bale did during his Tottenham time?
No, I don't think so. I think fullbacks now are basically our converted wingers. I think the way that Trent Alexander-Arnold plays, attacking from deep and getting forward and the cross into the box, I don't think so at all. I think what we'll be talking about in a couple of years' time is arguably the best right-back in world football. So, no, I don't see him adjusting or changing his position.
Just going back to the very important matter of Stevie's food, my producers told us that no one in America knows what mince is, ground beef. Is that, you happy now? Fussy. Right, do you think that the Premier League unnecessary prices their players without good reason? Manchester United just bought Van der Beek and got Bruno for a combined £85 million, Danny, but Jack Grealish by himself would have cost £80 million.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's not so much outpricing Premier League players, it's English players, isn't it? And I think one of the things that we've seen as well in recent times is that teams don't want to sell to rivals. I'm not saying Aston Villa are a rival to the top four or top six teams, but we've seen what Arsenal have done in the past. Arsenal have really messed themselves up because they've sold players to title contenders. So I think that's why the price is always going to be inflated when you're going from one Premier League team to another. But more importantly, it seems to be English players as well.
Right, Shaq, we know you've got a bit of a man crush on the next person that's mentioned here. Considering players in their prime, who would you have, Shaka? Kevin De Bruyne or Ricardo Kaká, not considering titles, trophies, etc., but as a player?
Yeah, listen, it's hard for me to separate my bias in this one. I'm going to go Ricardo Kaká. Listen, De Bruyne is simply incredible, but You mentioned it off the top, Dan.
Yeah.
This is unfair.
I know.
You shouldn't ask me to choose between Kaká and anybody else. That's not right.
You had those bonding times in California together, didn't you, Shaq? During media days.
It was a special moment for both of us.
A special moment for all of us was Stevie's face as he was thinking about the answer to this. And what have you come up with, Stevie?
I think right now I'm going with Kaká. Tell you what, it's a tough question, though.
It's a goodie.
Mm.
Danny?
Oh, wow.
I would go with Kaká as well because I think that players are far better looked after now by referees. And I think if you go back a few years when they weren't as well protected, he was still incredible.
Let's talk power. Who had the most powerful peg you'd ever play with or against? Shaka, which player did you face that had the most powerful shot? Any regrets that you caught or parried the ball? Do you want to start there, Shaka?
Start where? Who had regrets catching it?
Yeah, who had the most powerful shot?
It'd probably be Alan Shearer. Either Alan Shearer or Les Ferdinand. Without question. Who I trained with. But that wasn't fun.
You've gone all serious and grumpy, Shaq. Danny?
Well, I don't know what else to say, Dan.
Danny?
I don't know. I played in a Stoke team where we got the ball and we kicked it as far as we could. So, you know, I was probably up there defensively-wise, but in terms of...
who kicked it the furthest?
I, tell you what, I wasn't bad at kicking it far, but like, because I used to wear Adidas stand finders, so every time I got the ball, they just end up in the stand, but you know, you're not going to score from there. So I'm going to go about, yeah, me kicking it the furthest, but I think Robert Hoof, he probably had the most powerful strike when he was hitting it.
All right. Stevie?
I've got to go with Jan Mobley. Excuse me. I saw him score two goals where nobody moved because it was too quick. He's got a free kick against Ipswich. Nobody moved. Goalkeeper never even smelt it, saw it. And then he scored one at Anfield against Manchester United in a League Cup tie from about 25, 30 yards. And again, goalkeeper never even moved. Absolute dynamite. So, big Jan Mobley.
Who is ironically smaller than you these days, Stevie? Is that fair?
It's going to hit me.
Stevie.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Stevie, sorry, I can't. If you had to take back one of Lazo Markovic, Mario Balotelli, Benteke or Andy Carroll to be in the Liverpool squad once again, who would you choose?
Lazo Markovic, Benteke, Andy Carroll or...
Balotelli.
Who was the other one? Andy Carroll. The rest were a complete and utter waste of space. At least you can get something from Andy. You might get the odd goal. You'll certainly put the fear of God in the opposition. And it's a different sort of option. So that's it. That's an easy one. Andy Carroll.
Final question. Shaka, what was your initial reaction to René Aguita's scorpion kick against England, which happened 25 years ago today? Wow.
Oh, whoa. What? Is that long ago? I was stunned. I was watching that game and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I mean, even the... I was in England at the time, obviously, and even the commentators just seemed to freeze. Nobody knew what to say. Everybody's just kind of stunned and looking around at each other, trying to figure it all out. It was one of the iconic moments in world football that, you know, everybody remember. And as the old cliche goes, you remember where you were when it happened.
Did you try it the next day at training?
Everybody did.
Yep.
Everybody in world football tried that the next day. Yes.
Stevie, you were part of world football?
Yeah. No, yeah, well, just the younger ones, the daft ones were doing it. But I actually thought the referee had must have blown his whistle for some reason, because I thought there's no way he's done this without the referee having stopped the game, but obviously he did. Well, he's a goalie. They're all nutcases, so what do you expect?
To that point, Stevie, even the players kind of stopped. So you thought the referee blew the whistle. Aye. Even the players just kind of stopped and was suddenly looking around at each other like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Danny, do you remember trying it?
No, I didn't try it. I watched it. It was unbelievable how he did it. It was just incredible. It was just as though it was, you know, the norm for him when he did it. It was just something like Shaka just said, you always remember. You remember where you were. I was sat at home watching it with my parents and I was just gobsmacked. And like Stevie said, I thought that, you know, the game must have stopped for him to even try something as outrageous as that.
Was your guitar on your lap as you were watching?
It's hard.
No, I could play. See, we're talking about guitars now. When I was younger at that age, I used to play the violin.
Oh, you're just getting cooler by the hour, Danny.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm not having that. Hold on. I'm not having that. You can play the violin.
No.
You can't play a guitar.
No.
You're having a laugh.
What happened was, when I was in primary school...
Oh, no, you got the violin, so you couldn't play it. I get it.
No, I played the violin when I was in primary school, and then I went to secondary school, and, like, it wasn't considered cool to be playing a violin, so I stopped playing it. And that was that.
One of life's regrets, Danny.
Well, of course.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
If I could turn back time.
Right, good. Thank you very much, Cher. That's that. We're done. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.
Oh, dear.